today is Halloween, but the truly scary day is before us, Election Day. More fearsome than any ghoul or goblin, this is the season of the political ad.
ISIS gaining ground, terrorists committing mass murder, Ebola inside the U.S.
Campaigns are spending record amounts of money on these ads. The midterms are on track to be the most expensive congressional elections in history. We may hit $5 billion. And that worries Robin McNofsky.
How do we put an end to this and get the money back out of politics? Because I think that's the root of all evil at this point.
From KUOW in Seattle, this is Sound Cues, a podcast fueled by listener curiosity. I'm your host, Deborah Wong. On this episode, how some elected officials are trying to make all this money more transparent, and what you can do on your own to see through the ghostly haze.
Looking for more great local stories? We've got you covered. Our new weekly newsletter, The Best of KUOW, curates essential stories about the Puget Sound region and delivers them straight to your inbox. Subscribe for free by texting KUOW to 22828.
We're talking today about money and politics, and KUOW reporter David Hyde has been looking into that question. Hey, David.
Hi, Deb.
So $5 billion, that seems like a lot of money to be spending on political campaigns.
Yeah, and every year we're breaking the last record. It was $6.5 billion spent nationally back in 2016. That includes the presidential race and all congressional races. That's more than the gross domestic product of a lot of small countries like Fiji, Barbados, Liechtenstein.
Oh, Liechtenstein, you mean?
Frankenstein?
No, Liechtenstein.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the listener's question. What can we do, if anything, to get this kind of money out of politics?
The short answer is nothing. The Supreme Court of the United States, in a series of decisions culminating in a case called Citizens United, has said political campaign spending is free speech. So that means that groups that pay for these scary attack ads, they can raise as much money as they want, they can spend as much as they want. And if you watch TV at this point, for a lot of people, it's kind of like this recurring nightmarish experience. You're seeing the same ads over and over again.
All right. Well, let's talk about what people are seeing. What's happening in Washington State? Where exactly is this big money being spent?
One place is state initiatives. And one of the biggest ones this year is 1634. It's also known as Yes to Affordable Groceries.
The cost of living is too high. Vote yes on 1634 to prohibit local grocery taxes. Initiative 1634 would prevent local governments from imposing any new tax or fee on grocery items. Voting yes will stop taxes on meat, produce, dairy products, beverages, and other groceries. 1634 protects our families from taxes on food and beverages. Vote yes on 1634 to prohibit local grocery taxes.
Listening to this ad, if I didn't know and I were to guess, I think it was funded by beef or dairy companies or maybe even grocery companies.
Yeah, you would definitely think that. And the initiative says that cities can't pass new local grocery taxes, but it's being funded by big soda companies. So we're talking Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Red Bull.
So what's their interest in this?
You remember how Seattle passed a soda tax?
Yep.
The sweetened beverage tax. It just went into effect this year, and these companies weren't too happy about that. So this initiative would prevent soda taxes in other cities here in Washington State.
So how are voters supposed to know that soda companies are behind these ads?
Well, you could find out by going to the PDC website.
That's the state's Public Disclosure Commission.
Right. All the information is there. It has to be disclosed.
I'm guessing that most people would not go to a website.
Right. So State Senator Reuven Carlisle of Seattle wants to take our disclosure rules one step further. He plans to introduce legislation that would unmask the donors.
Ah, so it's like the big reveal at the end of Scooby-Doo.
Now, let's see whose glowing phosphorus face Redbeard really is.
Mr. Madness! And I thought like the butler always did it.
So the idea is if you saw one of these ads for something like Initiative 1634, you'd know that it was paid for by, you know, Coke or Pepsi.
All right, so lawmakers are trying to do something about how money is being spent in state races, like initiatives. But what about federal races, like congressional races?
Yeah, a lot of money is being spent there, too. The best example of an expensive congressional race this year is the battle for the 8th Congressional District. It's on track to be the most expensive race in Washington state history. They're up to something like $25 million already. And a lot of that money is going for political ads.
Thousands of patients were overcharged. Dr. Kim Schreier, she got rich while patients paid more.
Remember this guy? He's back, and Dino Rossi's still putting the screws to the middle class. As a legislator, Rossi wrote a budget that would kick 46,000 kids off health care.
Okay, so voters in the 8th District are being inundated with these political ads. Who is behind all of these ads?
So with the attack ads, it's mostly super PACs. And when it comes to super PACs, they actually have to tell the Federal Election Commission who funds them, but often the groups who fund the super PACs can hide their donors.
Okay, so staying with the Scooby-Doo analogy, the masks stay on?
Yeah, no Scooby snacks this time, Deb.
Okay.
Congress could pass laws forcing them to disclose, but so far they haven't done that. And that means voters end up being pretty confused by all of this stuff. I spoke with one voter, Raymond Gawk, who lives in the 8th Congressional District.
Only thing I've ever seen are negative ads from both sides. I mean, that's all I've seen. And I don't even know which side I'm going to go on either of those because it's just turned me off so bad.
I feel his pain. It's really confusing.
It is. And I feel like even for reporters like you and me, we've done a lot of political reporting. It's hard to know when you see these ads what's true and what's false and how do you vote on that basis.
So people ask me this question all the time, especially if it's a race that I'm following as a reporter. They say, like, you know, how should I vote or how should I decide how to vote? What do you tell people when they ask you that question?
You know, there's what do I do and what do I say? But I mean, we spend a lot of time researching this stuff. So we're fact checking. We're going to the candidates' websites. We're really kind of digging deep. But, you know, what I end up doing in our household is something like it's like a home ballot party.
What is that?
You know, you get your favorite beverage, might be coffee, might be, you know, something else. And you open up your ballots, you open up your computers, and you look at all of the endorsements from the different organizations around town or the newspapers, see what they're saying and what they recommend. You look at the voters' pamphlet and you kind of talk it out, talk about the different issues and how you want to vote. And in my household, we don't always end up voting the same way.
So from my perspective, I look at elections as a reporter and I'm basically, you know, I'm trying to get to everyone's, you know, events. Like when people show up for candidate forums, I try to go as much as I can. I look for YouTube videos. I want to see these, you know, them. I want to see them speaking. I Google the heck out of all these political campaigns because I want to know what's being written by reporters, by journalists, by columnists about them. And eventually, I think you get enough information, it sort of seeps in and you develop a view. And the more information you have, the more complete that view will be. But that's hard.
It's a good point. It's hard. If you don't have a lot of time and you're not a political reporter, what are you going to do? I actually asked a political science professor at Seattle U about this, Patrick Schottmer. And he said, you know, shortcuts aren't the worst thing in the world. If you vote just based on political party or interest group recommendations, oftentimes that's good enough. He says the research shows that when it comes to results, the differences between political parties are actually greater oftentimes than the differences between candidates. So if you don't have a lot of time, maybe that's one shortcut you can think about.
David, thanks for those suggestions. And, you know, we've been kind of joking around in this episode, but this is serious business. There's a lot at stake in this election.
Right. We've been joking about these scary ads, but there's some really scary stuff happening right now. And hopefully people will sort of take the time, if they choose to vote, to try to get better informed.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Deb.
This episode of Sound Cues was inspired by a question from listener Robin McNofsky. Sound Cues is a podcast fueled by listener curiosity and is a production of KUOW in Seattle. Do you have a question about Puget Sound? We're listening. Go to kuow.org/soundcues or email us at soundcues@kuow.org. That's Sound Cues with a Q. Your question might become our next episode. Matt Martin produced this segment. Jim Gates was our editor. Our production team includes Gil Agutter, Anna Boyko-Wyrock, David Hyde, Jill Jackson, and Brendan Sweeney. Michael Parker composed our theme song. I'm your host, Deborah Wong. Thanks for listening.
And I would have gotten away with it too, if it weren't for you meddling kids and that mountain climbing mutt Scooby-Doo.